So let's talk about the eclectic nature of POD.
It's amazing. We were just discussing the idea that you can stand. I like to stand at the laminator because it's where the covers are getting the lamination put on it, and just to see one different book after the other come, it's almost mesmerizing. You just watch and go, my goodness, we as a world have just an amazing appetite to be interested in different things.
So where is the facility?
Well, we have several facilities. We have a facility in Luverne, Tennessee. I should say in the U.S., we have a facility in Luverne, Tennessee. We've got one up in eastern Pennsylvania. And then we also have a new prototype facility, an automated version of the other two facilities that we are working on in just north of Cincinnati, Ohio. And we'll be opening with another one of these automated facilities in the middle of California in the second half of this year.
And how is the business growing?
Well, it's growing very nicely, and a lot of that has to do with not only our deeper penetration, publishers understanding more how to incorporate print-on-demand into their business process. Oftentimes, publishers tend to think about a cost per unit. If you can get something for a dollar versus $2, you go with the dollar, right? But if you don't have to put up any capital in advance, if you don't have to warehouse it, if you don't have to ship it, if you don't have to lose it and destroy it and inventory it and all that kind of stuff, when you look at a total cost of ownership, those numbers can be dramatically different. It's taken time for publishers to understand that. By the same token, the digital printing equipment has become better and better, faster and cheaper, so that we can offer a more cost-effective product and also a higher quality one, both on the traditional black on the inside, or just, you know, type and images, but increasingly even color is making some big leaps at this point.
So are the traditional publishers that people think of as, you know, places to address with book agents and all that good stuff, people like, let's say, Hodder and Stoughton and Houghton Mifflin, are they using print-on-demand as well?
You know, every publisher is different. Every publisher has different needs, different points of pain or problems that they're trying to solve. And particularly the larger publishers, typically they don't use it all the same. One large publisher used it so they didn't have to expand their warehouse. Well, that's a smart idea. I'm not sure that there are many shareholders that would appreciate expanding warehouses in a world of increasing digital presence of books. Others have used it that have really kind of figured out that it makes sense to sell more, and that they miss a lot when they're out of stock, and that having these titles where they're in stock all the time and available in the marketplace, even if their gross margin's a little bit less, that they come out ahead.
Are we going to see the end of the remainder table?
I don't think so. Much in the same way that I don't think digital is going to mean the end of the physical book.
Well, people feel very strongly. People who love books feel extremely, almost more strongly than people who love the newspaper. The physical book, the smell of a book, the heft of a book, the sound of the pages turning, that's really important to a lot of people.
And I think it will be always available, is my prediction. What we've learned as consumers is we want what we want, when we want it, where we want it, how we want it. And I happen to believe reading is a deeply personal endeavor, almost like fashion. People might, you know, see different fashion trends, but we interpret those differently and make them comfortable to ourselves. And I think reading is like that, in the sense that there are certain people for whom reading everything digitally would be fine, and there's certain people for whom reading everything in the traditional physical format is how they want to do it. But I think most of us will end up on that continuum somewhere in between, based on convenience and other factors, that convenience and preference. That's my belief.
Well, you sit at this really interesting, for want of a better word, convergence of digital and publishing. So you're doing digital publishing, but you also have ebooks and you do all kinds of other digital publishing. So what's the trend? Is the trend more publishing on demand, or are they both growing exponentially in their own way?
Well, I think that, first of all, we don't use the term either or, not either physical or digital. It's more like either and. Mm. Mm-hmm. And I think ultimately you're going to see more combinations where people are going to potentially want to have both physical and digital, or digital and physical, I mean, as the case may be. You'll see more of both. I just think there's going to be greater variety and more options for consumers, which is basically, I think, a good thing.
What about digital textbook? Because you guys are part of that revolution too. How are you seeing? Is it certain subjects are more conducive to digital textbooks? Is it everybody?
I think it's almost more situations at this moment, maybe, that are more conducive to digital textbooks. I mean, if you're taking an online course, oftentimes the primary or maybe even the only way that that course is offered is with digital materials. So if that's the only way it's offered and it works for you as an individual, then guess what? You're going to end up with digital textbooks. We found even in those situations, some of our testing is that if you had a really good valued physical book, that oftentimes students in real percentages would like to have both. And I happen to believe that both may be the best answer.
I like your not either or, but either and.
It's either and, I think. If you're searching for definitions or instances of something, I mean, the search capabilities that digital provides are magnificent. But oftentimes, I think we think of things spatially maybe differently, or even immersive reading. I know because I've got college-age, I would say children, but they would like to be called young adults. Sometimes they're children and sometimes they're young adults. You know, oftentimes they'll have their laptops set up with all their social stuff going on. And it's not, they don't want to turn that off, but they will turn away to a physical book for the immersive reading. And that seems to be a situation that works well for them and maybe for others.
Fascinating that you say that, because we started doing some apps for kids, very high quality, high end stuff. And we did a book with CreateSpace. We've done several. We were absolutely struck by the difference of the reaction of people to the physical book versus the app. There was a sense they picked it up and they treated it with a different respect.
The
physical book was treated with a respect and a value. I don't know if you've come across the same thing. It was consistent, by the way.
I was having a discussion this morning with somebody. You can send them the picture. It's with my daughter, who's getting ready to graduate from Vanderbilt, and I'm very pleased with her. And she was thinking about getting presents for her friends, and you know, she wanted to create a photo album and also include, you know, other excerpts of text. And at the end of the day, she wanted it to be, you know, a physical object. So I don't know. Again, I really think it's personal and situational, and you know, that creates a lot of complexities because you have to have more variety and situations. But complexity and things like that are actually good for people like Ingram, because if everything were simple, we wouldn't be needed.
I have one other question that intrigued me. We just came back from the UK, and there was an interview that ran, I can't remember which newspaper, with the head of Waterstones, mm-hmm. Gentleman runs Waterstones, and he was saying one of the things we've noticed recently is that the mix of e-books, the growth of e-books, has stabilized about 30%, and it just seems to have stalled there, and we're finding that mix is holding, which is obviously good for us as Waterstones. Is that something that is being seen elsewhere? Is that
there? You're seeing a stabilization, at least at the moment, in the U.S. I think you're seeing a stabilization of the amount of the overall sales. I think you're seeing a proliferation of the amount of titles that is out there, and I think indicative of you know, a world where, you know, more things are possible. There is CreateSpace. There are other apps that are out there for publishing, including if one is lucky enough to get an agent and be shopped to the big name publishers. But you know, even if one doesn't have that option, there are increasing amount of options to be published either physically or digitally. And I would say, if I were advising an author, I would say do both. Why do you want to limit where you can sell your product?
Well, I think that's, yeah. Thank you. I think we've got plenty. There. Is there anything you would like to say
we just didn't know
to an audience of people who buy books, buy reading devices?
Books are wonderful. I mean, they represent great thoughts, and they represent emotion, and they represent great creativity. I hope we always find, you know, in a world that of video games and other things that are more and more realistic and tons of fun, and I play some of them with my kids as well, I hope we always find a suitable place for books, because there's so much to be learned and enjoyed, and I hope that we never lose a love of reading.